Good evening, everyone. It is 7 o'clock, it's Wednesday night, and this is the American Book of the Dead Guidebook. We are working our way through the American Book of the Dead Guidebook by E.J. Gold. And it's a unique book. It's a very interesting book, and what it has three major parts to it. There's an introductory part that talks, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Then it enters into this very interesting series of books of the dead. And what we've been doing for the last 18 weeks.
That's correct.
18 weeks, we've been studying the front matter, but then we entered into a cycle, a very unique study where we've formed subgroups.
Yes, and, we did.
And the subgroups have delved deeply into each one of the three books that we have so far. Now, what are these three books? The three books, what are the books of the dead? If you look at this volume, I want to point out to the, on the softbound copy.
Yes,
we
did.
And the subgroups have delved deeply. You guys have to turn your mic, your volume up. It appears off.
The three books.
If you're on the phone.
Turn your volume off on your computer while you're on the phone.
And so it actually is the very first page that is, that has the numerals. Page one starts the book. And that book, it starts with, it's called The First Book of the Dead. And then it distinguishes which that one is, and it goes through very quickly here, page, what's the last one? 88.
The 22nd.
And that's the 22nd Book of the Dead. So each one, for some reason, this author has brought forth 22 books. He's called them Books of the Dead. And what these are, they're, each one is designated to a particular name. I once asked DJ about this,
mm-hmm.
and he said, well, this is, it represents the 99 names of God. And he said he got the concept from Rashad Field, and he started working with him in such a way. So we've come through three of these, and when I, you know, what I'd like to say is that each one has a unique character. Each of the books of the dead have a unique character. It's as if the subgroups, now see if this makes sense to you guys, okay? It's as if the subgroups have gone in and have created a portal such that a particular guide can come through and be presented to us as recipients of that guide.
Another way of putting that, say that the group allows the formation of a shared entity, thereby making available the formation of an invocation of that entity, of which the name is that book.
Now, I'm going to expand a little bit on what Pat said because it's very important. Now, these guys, I'm just going to use my own language, okay? And I'm not trying to be technically correct. I'm just going to use my own language. These entities are bigger, in a sense. I'm just going to say they're bigger than any individual can host. But if a group is diligent and they work together, they're able to expand enough so that the guide can come through and it can look around and it can see what it must see and it can introduce itself, and those that need to see will see it. How about that
nicely
one?
Nicely put.
Huh?
Nicely put.
So,
in the language that David is using, you could say that there is a landing pad or landing
yeah.
field that is made available for the purpose of allowing the information of the guide to be present, which means those of us who participate in the creation of the landing pad are present during the invocation of an entity,
yeah.
which is not something that you can manage on your own.
Let me expand on that further. Dan, how many people are online right now?
12.
12. And then there's about 5 or 6 of us here. Something like that.
And he can't count. And that's the truth. Okay, yes, there are about 5 or 6 of us here.
And the idea is that it takes each individual participating is a required element in allowing that invocation to manifest. This is not a personal thing. This is not something, oh, I'm going to do this so I can have a groovy experience. No, in a sense, you're serving this higher situation to allow it to have a venue in which it can, let's just say, land, as you put it, a landing pad. We become that landing pad. And when we can do that, then something can happen. Something's possible. You know, Silverdale and I have always thought, gosh, you know, what do you do when in a situation and this teacher isn't, you can't get to the teacher. The solution has to do with group work. So group work allows us to enter into a space where some of that information is available, okay? Yeah, that's it.
So we have some visitors with us tonight. So there are a couple of different languages being spoken here in this particular room. We have our dutiful scribe reader.
We have a scribe.
Who is taking the note of what is said by others in the additional chambers, and that's Stan, and he gives that to us as we go through.
So if you look at it from that point of view,
exactly,
invocations have jobs associated with it. You
yeah.
need to hear this too.
So the function that you can agree to, that you can take on as an obligation, the function that is required in the space produces, one, the opportunity for you to be present, which you wouldn't necessarily have if you were just an audience member.
Right.
And two, it gives you, if you take advantage of it, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, it gives you the opportunity to expand your capacity to provide what is needed, even if it's not within your own skill range.
So, put a footnote on that and come back to that.
Yeah.
Expand your capacity a little bit later. So, in an invocational space, there are different hosts that arise. For instance, Dan plays a particular role, kind of like a gatekeeper. He has to be sensitive to the space and yet know literally when to interrupt. But it's not, if he knows that, it's not an interruption. Correct, Dan? He says it's hard to tell sometimes because he's not picking up the phone to speak. Yes, it is hard to tell. That's the point. And but you do tell by increasing your capacity of doing. And you'll notice that sometimes I say, come on, tell me something because I know something's happening. And other times I wait for you. Now the role of scribe is the role in higher communication, the witness.
Exactly.
You have, in the witness, in a certain technical sense is not part of the space, but is required for the space to reach objectivity. And so we have those roles are here. So once I notice that they're here, I say, okay, we can begin.
Yeah. Now there are also sometimes, visible or not, additional participants of the space which may be called on by reference. And I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to name our friend Lily, who is going through certain type of passage, which hopefully we'll all have the opportunity to do, which is, you know, drag her body again back from the edge and continue on with what she needs to get done here. So Lily as a participant is not visible, at least some of us, but she is a member of this particular evening because she had a critical event happen on Sunday and we spent 13 hours in the hospital and, you know, she's going to go into the nursing home tomorrow. And I'm happy to give the whole report, but just let everyone know she has, again, as is Lily's capacity, used her will, because it was about all that was left there, to go through the crisis. And she will be, she is more comfortable now, and she will be continuing on. That's the kind of difference we can make inside our circle, because we know the boundaries can allow for the inclusion of additional aspects, even if it's not physically present.
So here's an odd one.
Yes.
That showed up for this space tonight.
Yes.
there's a particular group being formed, and for some reason I had to read the list last night and this morning. The list of correspondences between people's names and their avatar name. For instance, tonight we have an avatar whose name is Alicia, and her name is Alicia, visiting us tonight. So this list had all these names, right? And suddenly at the very bottom, I saw a name that just leaped out at me, and the name was Q, but there was no name beside it.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, do you know what that name is?
I do not.
Does anybody else remember? I know, but does anybody else know who that avatar name refers to?
I remember it from Star Trek, but that not here.
You.
Okay.
Who is it?
So that name is Susie Q or Susan Kester.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Susan Kester died, I don't remember.
A year or so.
It's
almost.
Almost.
Yeah, November the 11th, I think that was. Yes.
It was in the fall of
last
year.
In the fall, okay.
I mean,
yes.
Susan was a powerful member of this group and helped guide us through the regular American Book of the Dead.
Yes.
And during the course of that, she passed away. So her name came up. And then I had a reason to attend to my altar today.
Good.
And on my altar is a picture of who I've read for, and prominent today
was
Susan Kester's picture.
Yes.
So all of those are little signs that says, oh, I'm in that class tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when we get back to the American Book of the Dead, we'll talk about, but we did her 49-day reading already. We'll get back to that another.
We've
addressed that.
At some point, we will come around. It'll come around again on the guitar.
So Susan's here too, and thank you for
joining
us again.
Thank you.
And we appreciate that. And then another dear friend of mine is very clearly here too, which I'm not going to mention the name.
That's good.
Okay, so
very good.
What we did today is we touched, in our regular course of events, we touched the pause button. And when you touch the pause button on the movie, you get up and you can walk around and you can see, well, where have we been? So what I'd like to do is that we're opening it up to a recollection. What has happened in the last 18 weeks? And I know that we'll look at the front matter too very briefly, and some of us will help us. But I want to pay particular attention to the character of the three books that we've been through. Okay? So, there you have it.
Yes. And
you know what,
Silverdale? We want to hear from each and every one of you that has an aspect of this to deliver for all of us.
As soon as I said the front matter, unfortunately, Silverdale, your name just hit me in the forehead. So take it away, brother.
Oh, boy. Well, this whole subject matter of the American Book of the Dead, or as it's otherwise called, thanatology, which is the study of transit, is quite an esoteric subject. That is to say, we don't often run across information like this in the course of our reading the general literature of spiritual themes and topics. And so I think what we all have appreciated, what I've certainly appreciated in the study, in our studies over the last 18 weeks, is the relatively slow, methodical unwrapping of a series of ideas in progression. So we start with, of course, the map. We're reminded that, yes, we have ordinary consciousness, but it's possible to develop spiritual consciousness, whatever that might be, although after all the decades each of us have put into that, we for the most part have a recognized experience of going through the introduction, which is, just the uncertainty of the transit state. Well, it's helpful to have a guidebook that helps remind us of something that we've probably forgotten. And of course, each of these first three personages serve to eliminate something that might not ever have occurred to us. So if we go to Ula and I am that I am, or Rachman, I am the compassionate, or Umalik, I am beyond existence. For me, it's great material to ingest for myself, digest. But boy, I think the collective effort of each of the groups just brings a variety that certainly would not be possible alone, and particularly in such a very esoteric body of knowledge. So that's kind of my summary at the time.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Very helpful. Just a great space to start.
Yeah, and I want to pay particular attention to the three books. Okay, I know there's a front matter. Yes, that's important. But the thing that's just unique about this book is the 22 books of the dead. Utterly unique. Show me where you see this in spiritual literature anywhere. It ain't there, baby. So let's just turn our attention to the first book of the dead called the Book of Ula. So
let's hear. Do they have a commentary in there from anyone yet on that? Maybe even from group members? Okay. I don't want to leave them out.
Yeah. Is Laura 34 on?
I don't think so, David.
Okay.
That's okay. So I'm just wondering, so let's, now there are a couple of people that were in that group that are here tonight.
Woo.
The presenters, the first of the dead.
Yeah.
And I think I hear two of their voices right now. And I was just wondering, just without, try to do this without thinking, if possible, and just bring forth your reflection. What was it like? Okay?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I don't know that there's a way in which I could have been more organized and structured than the first Book of the Dead to receive everything else that comes after. It set the stage. It gave the boundaries. It organized how we were going to receive the data. It was like the professor walked in and said, this is what we're going to address, and this is the manner. And that demonstration of that was the character of Ullah, basically saying, I am that I am, and this is the manner in which you will know that. Now, that was, for me, that was the original covering, was the structure is in place. And I was so relieved, because if you wander in the Bardos and you do not have the context, this is the Bardos, what gives, how do I know about it, what's my method of travel, how can I perceive? You have to get your orientation, your bearings from somewhere. Where is the place you get it from? This helped establish. Book one helped establish that. That's my take.
Barry? Kianjo, you want to take a shot at it?
David, I just lost auditory.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. I didn't hear a thing Pat just said.
That's
okay.
Good. And you just
good.
Asked your question.
You're fresh. Basically, you were part of the first group on this first book. What were your impressions now when you look back on presenting that book?
As I look back on it now, I think it emphasizes the stages that we've already studied in the ABD Red Book. And it really illustrates them from a different perspective that has been very useful to me and to our Austin group as well. We're now in ABD, the Red Book. So that's been most helpful to pass this on and expand their map of what's happening. And this book has been opened up by the work that all these subgroups have done. And this one is when we meet the primary clear light, which is the vision of absolute reality. And this is a moment of great potential, of great power.
Uh-huh.
The whole idea of energy is being at its maximum. I had never thought of things in that way before. So it's a moment of great opportunity. It's a crossroads. And what happens later depends upon what we do in our response to this experience.
When, as I hear the two of you talk, for me, one of the things that was overwhelming about that first book was just the concept of, I am that I am. There's nothing else. Pure presence, and I was for the first time struck by that. And right now, as I reflect on it, I have to think in terms of the idea that what we're developing is like a different tools of observation, and really, in a certain way, self-observation. But You know that that signpost is there. There's a sign on the road, and it's going to say, it's going to be like a big flashing sign. It's going to say, I am that I am. And when you run across that on the Bardo path, then you now know where you are. Right?
Yes, and the flashing path is the thing about it is it's not limiting. It is welcoming.
Yeah.
There is this quality which is it uses the word you, and as a narrative it has this immense dramatic impact of what the situation is. But then there's the quality of the participation that you are encouraged to be part of. And it says, now you are dying and you must leave without that which you in this life accumulated. And so already you're being brought in as part of the story. So that's the other thing that is so crucial in this version of the Book of the Dead, is it is a participatory version, not solo.
So we're participating in it. I mean, when I read these things, and thanks for the subgroup for opening it up so much for us. The first, you guys in the first book set a great standard, great, great, great standard. But for me, it's almost like, you know, God is sitting there jumping up and down on the hillside saying, come on, I got free stuff here. come on in.
you have the tent of the bazaar, right?
The tent of the bazaar.
Come right on in. The barker is out there. Come in, one and all.
Come on.
One and all.
All we need to do is say, okay, boss.
Okay, I'm in.
But that's a deep tent to walk into, isn't it? But ever so slowly we walk in, and a little bit of ourselves we let drop away, that machine, the sleeping machine, and we assume ourselves as a divine being, just a little bit at a time. A day at a time, a moment at a time, and when we hear these presentations, that's what happens for me. Okay?
Yes.
So, this book one, and then what happened next?
Well, that second book of the dead called the Book of Ur-Rahman.
So, Ur-Rahman, now, the people that did Ur-Rahman were of a fundamentally different character of the people that did Book 1.
Yes.
I'd have to say that the people that did Book 2 were the poets and the singers and the dancers.
Yes.
And I think that was the footprint that Ur-Rahman was looking for. He needed his voice sung out. He needed someone to sing his tonality. Now, right now in this part of the room, none of those individuals are here. This provides us with a great opportunity. So what happened to you when you heard, I am the compassionate? Did you hear any of that? Jacoba, did you hear any of that presentation of Ur-Rahman? But fundamentally, so just anybody, what is your impression? any impression you had when that particular book was presented to us? You can talk.
Well, I hear sound on the phone here, but I don't. I don't.
Okay. I guess an impression was the endless. That's the same thing. Endlessness.
Compassion. Which, of course, also puts in that whole unconditional love. Which is the heart. Can you do it for
It's not on speakerphone. I think it's getting feedback from the Bob and the PA.
Thank you.
We do have a couple of comments. They're both from Gopalt, and he says, the six-step question process gave us a way to penetrate the first book. It seems like it was a long time ago. We are encouraged to use efforts in life to learn to tolerate absolute reality. We are encouraged to use efforts in life to learn to tolerate absolute reality. And then his next comment, I heard some of the presentation of book two, and it was poetry, the Bodhisattva path, compassion, learning to expand the heart.
Yeah.
I recall how there was the quality from some of the presenters of an unimaginable strength because of their compassion. And it had never occurred to me that those were related. But I saw strength and I heard strength being expressed in the aspect of compassion that they were demonstrating or presenting. And that was new for me. I did not know about strength as an aspect of compassion. It seems totally real to me. It's not true. I had never looked at that. I hadn't seen that facet of it. And I saw that manifested among the presenters, and that was extremely rewarding and revealing. It was wonderful to observe. And that quality of Ur-Rahman was present in the presentation. I guess that was the strongest thing for me.
There was such a passion from the presenters to open that door for us.
Yes. It was very hard.
Very hard, even very evident.
Now, may I just say that in the style of the presentation, you get some feeling of how the group work occurred. So as Grant spoke of, our analytical reasoning approach was our entrance, and of course in our presentation you would have heard it from that. From the book two, the clothing, the raiment that they were showing us was the poetry and the music and the prayer and the heart radiating out in this glorious raiment. And that also was in the nature of the work that the group did. So the books are being presented in the style in which the group worked in them. And I love this. I think we're so lucky.
And the group, the individual group members flow to the group for which they are and should be presenters. I mean, in book two, we had flutes. We had a flute.
Okay. Yes.
That was kind of nice.
And in book three, we had persistence, we had stability, we had continuity, we had ongoingness. I can't remember what that word is, but there's tenacity.
Tenacity.
Oh, my goodness.
The book three, the thing I think that was most, hit me most on book three was the depth that it went to.
Yeah.
It went to a certain depth, and then
it went
deeper
again.
And
then again. Yeah.
It was surprising.
Yeah.
It was surprising to me and enjoyable. I really enjoyed that.
They didn't stop at the light first levels of panning. They did the scoop it up and bring up the deep stuff and put it out there on display, and then scoop again and bring it up some more.
And what was the your presentation, what was the name of it again, George?
Body of Habits.
So Body of Habits. I mean,
our essence is nothing more than a body of habits.
Nothing more than a body of habits. And bottom line of that is that, Beverly, that we see this material, and if we read it by ourselves, we read it and we kind of like skim through and go, oh, yeah, I know what that means, and just keep going. But if we read it with our friends in a group, like these phrases come to us and grab us.
Mm-hmm.
They grab us and they say, listen to me. And,
It's a powerful necessity of group to develop ears that hear what is being spoken, that listen in a way that provides access, that provides knowledge and access to the wisdom of that particular book. It's a really interesting process that we don't need to get into analyzing it, but group work by definition says what is of benefit to the group is of greater importance to me in this moment than what is required by me to understand or do this task. And so because you can take necessity of the group above your own necessity, you actually have access to capacities that you do not personally have.
Right.
It's a very lovely law. I'm so happy. We get to work with this law all the time.
So I'm going to repeat something that I repeat almost every book we go to, is a particular formula for the work, that work that's important to me. And that formula is as follows. How can you put yourself in a position such that your transformation is a necessity to the work?
There you go.
And you got some helping hands behind you.
I'd like to hear from some of the group three people what you... It's only been 1 week, so it's not, you don't necessarily have, except for, time isn't the same. What do you have as your fondest recollection from the weeks and months, in your case, I think it was months, that you spent with Book C? Yes, that's something. Dan.
Well, a couple of comments from Nepal. Book three, we learned the value of doing repeated readings as a group. We read together every time we met. It was amazing. Yes, with each reading, we understood different aspects of the book, almost as if we had not heard them before. Lots of wow moments.
Thank you.
Good.
You know, Silverdale, maybe you can just comment on your feelings of the dynamic of working together.
Well, I tell you, just to tell you who I worked with and what particularly impressed me about each of them, starting with Alchemy, who presented to us last week the five primal components of consciousness. And listen, that was important information, important material that I would have had an extremely hard time assembling for myself. But as she was able to bring it forth from her own body of experience and share it with us, that was wonderful. I also appreciated Laura 34's presentation, which was really a guided meditation and she was sharing with us, with each of us, one of her own practices in trying to use this material for herself through the process of visualization. I found that a very effective form of testimony for myself. Tamara, of course, who brought kind of a Sufi tonality with some poems by Rumi and the background information on the different names of God. Grant Gospels, of course, was able to show this particular material as an extension of the ADD, which we studied earlier. And for myself, surprisingly, just going into the material on my own and speaking for myself, I happen to be particularly fascinated with the phrase body of habits, and in continuing to do some background information, I thought I was able to contribute to all of us by suggesting a possibility that each of these books represent a conscious habit of our essence that we can learn to cultivate and develop on our own. That is, to develop the habit of thinking of ourselves as I am that I am, or I am the compassionate, or I am independent of existence. And but anyway, those that, you know, I've just described five different people bringing five different aspects of their own work efforts through the years in the past, and well, we made quite a stew together, I thought. Indeed you did.
Thank you. I love your summarization of all of you stirring together that huge pot of book three in the kitchen of the kitchen of the soul workers. I want to just touch on one other part, if that's okay. I'm gonna go into the preparatory introductory material, which was our first broaching of this particular text of the American Book of the Dead guidebook. As you recall, this book was one of the original formulations of the Book of the Dead. It does come from 1974. And so there has been some additional material that has either been added to or edited out in later versions. So it was very nice to be able to spend a little time at the very beginning with gathering the tools that we would need for making this journey through these 22 books. And I'm speaking specifically of that incredible piece called The Map, and how it gave us the opportunity to take a look at what is it that we need to be able to know or do or find out about in order to make this journey together. And I'm so appreciative of the fact that we spent enough time really getting ourselves well-oriented, getting our bearings. Where are we now? What does it look like to us now? Where do we think we're going? How do we expect to get there? And then this version of travel, which is you send out the scouts the little groups, and the little groups go out and scout, and they come back and they deliver their report, and they say, hey, look, I saw this compassionate one, and it was in this shape for me, and I'm bringing that back for all of you. And then we go along on our way, enriched by all of us having had a deepening of the text than if we had each individually gone through it ourselves.
Right.
So the preliminary material for me gave us the tools to be taking this journey that we're on now.
So I think that's a great summarization. I think it's good to reflect in that way. We have before us teams forming already for book four.
Oh, yes.
Five.
Yes.
We have six notated.
Yes.
And a preliminary possible group for seven.
Wonderful.
So we'll announce the seven group next week, maybe or the week after. So anyway, we need more members in book six. So if you're interested in book six, what's the name of that one, Sylvie Dan?
That one is El Mu'umen. Mu'umen. El Mu'umen. El Mu'umen. Very good.
So,
yeah.
So that won't be for several weeks, but if you would like to participate in that, you can let Silverdale know or let me know, and I'll put you in touch with him.
And David, was Ivan participating in book six as well?
He is going to participate. He can't be here for the presentation.
Right.
He's been out of town, and presumably he's coming back tonight.
Yeah, we're counting on being back tonight, Ivan.
And he acknowledged to me that he was going to connect with you soon, all right?
Okay, great.
So what are we going to do next week again?
Oh, I don't know. What could it possibly be? Who would think maybe it would be the fourth book of the dead? Oh, book of those. U-L-apostrophe-Q-U-D-O-O-S-L-U-L-K-U-D-O-S. And, you know, just because we're going to be doing this starting next week, it would be our pleasure to read to you the fourth book of the dead called the Book of Ul-Kudus.
I am beyond any description, any imagination, any wonder. I am beyond any expansion of consciousness and beyond any depth to which the innermost reveres of consciousness could wander. I am so free from qualities and characteristics that no man can understand or conceive of my reality. And this is because man looks to himself and to his own qualities to measure my reality according to his own reality. And man tries to understand my reality by giving me his own qualities in a perfected form. And man calls his own qualities of knowledge, power, hearing, sight, and speech perfections when they are complete, subtle, and positive under the will of the universe.
For this is not the perfection or the reality of Kruz, the most holy. It is nothing but the idea of man's own perfection projected into the spiritual skies, heaven. These are the instructions for first to seventh days of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness.
And it has come to pass that you shall be compelled to pass through the full realm of transit. And this has come about despite all the previous confrontations. And the daily dangers which you must now meet and overcome during the next 7 days are next explained in detail.
Eight. Now the first day of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness is reckoned from the time of the passing from the secondary clear light into the dawning of the lucid clarity of consciousness of the fourth or fifth day after the death of the body. These are the instructions for the first day of karmic apparitions caused by the breaking up of the phenomenal world into the primal elements of consciousness. And it has come to pass that you have remained in a fainting swoon for the past 4 days. And now that you have recovered from this swoon, you will realize what has occurred.
Thank you.
11, and you shall look around and recognize the transit world and the world of matter will be all in an uproar, and the apparitions and phenomena you shall now see before you shall all be individual appearances of the primary elements of consciousness. And they shall be called the guide. And the space surrounding you shall appear to you blue in color, and the matrix of space shall appear to you now. And the matrix of the space is the guide who is in reality the primal element of space, the realm in which all phenomena arise, and the element called space is the matrix of all matter resolved into its spiritual form.
Now a blinding blue light will strike you, and it will come from the heart of the guide, who is neither male nor female, and the light shall strike you in the heart. And with the brilliant blue light, there shall also appear a soft white light, and the soft white light shall also strike you in your heart. And if you have attachment to the world of matter, you will want to run, and you will fear the brilliant blue light.
Sixteen. And it shall come to pass that there shall be no place in which to hide but the soft white light. And the soft white light is the light of the world of the gods. Seventeen. And if you are able to give up your attachments to the things of the world of matter, the brilliant blue light shall dissolve them away. And with all the attachments, the brilliant blue light shall also dissolve the sense of ego and tendencies toward habitual actions and thoughts.
And if you become drawn to the soft white light of the world of the gods, you shall be born into it. And though it seems more pleasing and less to fear, it is an obstruction to liberation, but not to awakening. Now you should be welcome the brilliant blue light and bathe in it and baptize yourself in it. It is the cleansing of the spirit, and in that you should rejoice.
And this is the prayer which you should repeat with me. 21. Alas, when wandering in the world through ignorance and error on the path of radiance of the wisdom of the matrix of space, may I be cleansed and guided by the inexorable wisdom of the world of reality.
And by praying in that way, in intense and humble faith, you shall merge in a halo of rainbow light into the heart of the luminous board. And you shall attain completion as the seed of all universal existence, and you shall dwell forever in the realm of the kingdom.
This completes this reading, the fourth book of the dead, called the Book of Ul-Kudus. Thank you.
Thank you, Ul-Kudus. And thank you all for coming tonight to the class. And we'll see you again next week, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.